Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
And we're back. This is a special hour of Radio Boston, live from TEDx Boston at the Seaport World Trade Center. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're taking a look this hour at what's happened to previous TEDx speakers and how their ideas have fared and spread over time. And up next, David Goodtree's vision for the water industry in Massachusetts. In his TEDx talk last year, he began by describing just how much water Americans use every day.
The UN defines basic water needs for drinking and washing is about 10 gallons a day. But if your typical Sunday morning includes a leisurely shower, reading the Sunday paper, and enjoying two eggs for breakfast, you've now used up your entire basic water needs for a whole month.
Well, so there may be water everywhere, but only 0.5%, or even less than that, of the world's fresh water is on the surface and ready to drink. And as a consequence, there's a huge and growing market for companies that can turn non-potable water into clean, drinkable, life-sustaining H2O.
It's a business worth hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's something that Massachusetts excels at. Some 300 companies that deal in water technology are headquartered in Massachusetts. Goodtree hopes for more.
I look forward to the day when there is a world of abundant and clean water from innovators and entrepreneurs from the great state of Massachusetts.
Well, joining us now to talk more about exactly that prospect is David Goodtree. He's one of the organizers of the Symposium on Water Innovation in Massachusetts. He gave his TEDx talk here last year. David Goodtree, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So before we get into where Massachusetts is now regarding water innovation here, describe to me a little bit more about the state of potable water around the world. Obviously, demand grows virtually exponentially every year. How has supply been able to keep up, if at all?
So supply is fixed, but demand grows due to population growth, which is actually the third driver. The second driver is agricultural products and derived from agricultural products. And first is goods that contribute to quality of life. Quality of life is rising over decades, so demand is inexorably growing. Water demand is not a fad. It's not a social media thing. It will forever be increasing, and yet fresh water is a fixed supply. So that new water supply to satisfy life has to come from other sources.
Right. So it can come through conservation. It can come through conversion of non-freshwater supplies. I understand there's some, as we said, 300 companies in the state already that are dealing with water innovation and technology. What are some of the things that they're doing?
So Massachusetts has the full value chain of the water industry. We start with research and education at schools like MIT and Tufts and Northeastern. Then it continues into startup competitions and venture capitalists who fund companies and research grants from EPA. And then it moves into some of the ones are successful and become either large engineering firms or large goods and services firms. So it's the full gamut of what makes the industry is actually here in our state.
Do you have any specific examples of some that have gone all the way to successful companies that are
Sure.
actually in the global water marketplace, so to speak?
Sure. Watts Water is a $1.6 billion company that makes valves, and they're probably in your basement. CDM Smith, the former Camp Dresser McGee, is a $1.2 billion water and wastewater engineering firm that does most of its work around the globe, not in New England. Koch Membrane, famous Koch brothers, makes membranes for cleaning water, originally founded out of technology license from MIT. So those are some of the biggest. There are many others, and also many small ones, and many succeeding ones, and many failing ones.
Mm. Now, so it's really interesting because in your talk, your previous TEDx talk, and in also coverage since then, here we have a situation where, some people might look at it as ideal because you have virtually limitless demand for water. And so therefore, companies who want to enter this marketplace, if they're successful, they have a huge marketplace in front of them. What do you think, if anything, still stands in the way of Massachusetts becoming, as you've noted, a wet Silicon Valley where it's a hub or a nexus of this kind of innovation?
So the water industry historically is slow to innovate. It's about pulling water from existing sources and transporting them and treating them locally. But with demand growing and supply fixed, we have to create new solutions to deliver new water. As a result, that's the application of technology. So historically, we weren't going to ship Massachusetts water to a water-poor place. But now we can ship goods and services that can create water in other places. So, for example, quite surprising, Massachusetts is a great leader in the field of desalination. We're relatively a water-abundant place. There's one desalination plant in the public water supply here in Massachusetts. Why desalination here in Massachusetts? It's because the innovators and the research are here. A great company called Ionix was founded here in the 1950s, built the first commercial desalination plant. I think it was in Saudi Arabia in 1954. Today, there are 16,000 desalination plants in the world. The first one was engineered here. That company ultimately got acquired by GE for $1.2 billion. I'll give you another interesting example. There's a project finance and project developer company in Massachusetts just moved here called Poseidon Water. They pulled together the project finance for what will be the largest desalination plant in the Western Hemisphere. That project will occur in Carlsbad, California. So our technology, our project finance, our higher ed all play into providing solutions which may or may not play locally, mm-hmm. but do play on the global market.
So this month, I read that there was a proposal to create a New England Water Innovation Network that would further do exactly what you say. It would further connect firms and laboratories new and more established companies in creating this water nexus, so to speak, in Massachusetts. But the thing about water is because it is a resource that we absolutely all must have in order to live, some people might feel a little uncomfortable when we even introduce the idea of a water marketplace into the conversation. And so I wonder if you feel that sort of policies around water are keeping up with what seems to be possible in terms of the technology in converting and even conserving water.
So there are many voices in the conversation.
Right.
Sometimes policy is responsive and leading, and sometimes it's not. Then courts can get involved. I would say, though, that I can see a very obvious change among regulators, particularly in our state and also a little bit with the EPA. Chief regulator in our state, Ken Kimmel, Commissioner of Department of Environmental Protection, participated with me and 48 other people on a Massachusetts water innovation mission to Israel, where they have very enlightened policy and some of the best technology in the world. And he came back and he said, wow, it's amazing how government can work with business and industry, not just to regulate, but to use innovation to solve the challenges that we face, both to advance the market and, for his perspective, more importantly, to take care of the environment.
Well, David Goodtree is one of the organizers of the Symposium on Water Innovation in Massachusetts. He gave a TED talk, or TEDx talk, I should say, here last year about turning Massachusetts into a wet Silicon Valley for water technology and for innovation. David Goodtree, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.